What's going on, everybody? I go by the name of Jackie Vontees, and you are tuning in with Real The Real Podcast. Today's episode is very important to me because this is something that our people usually is not exposed to. And when I mean our people, I am talking about the Latino and Black community. I think having a trauma life coach to guide us through life and to guide us through our trauma, it's very important. And this is why on tonight's episode I have a very important person by the name of Alba Cordero Soto. She is a trauma life coach. How are you, Alba?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day to, connect with me. That's very, it's very, I appreciate it. And it's an honor because you're sharing your energy with me. And I am so happy that we're able to do this because I need a person like you to share your specialty and create awareness, so I would like you to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Perfect. So my name is Alba Cordero Soto. I am a mom. I am a mother of four. I'm a wife. I am a nurse. And as of recently, I embarked on the journey of self-discovery, and I recognized that I am more than a mom, more than a nurse. I am Alba, and in finding myself and my relationship with God, it has really, really liberated me from a lot of my past traumas. And it has been just a really beautiful journey that I've embarked on. So I've been super excited to share this journey with so many amazing women that I know could benefit from it, because for so long I was running away from my own stuff and staying busy with work, with life. So I'm just excited to be here and share some of my healing journey with your audience. So I'm just super excited to be here.
I am so honored, hon, and thank you. It is, to me, it is very important to heal from things in your life, even from childhood. What people sometimes don't understand, that even when you are carrying a baby, the baby is feeling everything that you are feeling. So trauma can start even within the womb.
Yes.
So I think this is very important. And because you specialize in this, I want you to just give us all the 411 on, being a trauma life coach. What are some advice you have for people that are experiencing trauma? What are your services? I just want us to get to the nitty-gritty on how can people reach out, and just have an outlet as yourself so that they can be able to heal, and I want you to share all that information with us.
Absolutely. I'm excited. So and once you get me started, you can't get me to shut up. So it's all good. I'm here to share everything that I know. I'm an open book. So one thing to know about trauma. So what trauma is when you have an outside situation, an outside something that happens to a person. And what oftentimes happens is when that person is exposed to this outside this outside event, the body disassociates. So the body either has this fight or flight response. So that means that you either do not respond at all because you're frozen, you're like stuck, or you try to fight it, right? So your body has this fight or flight response and you disconnect from the situation. And part of the reason why is because it's a defense mechanism where your body or your mind is not able to to conceptualize and to grasp like what it is that's going on and process those feelings, especially when it happens in childhood. So you disassociate, and what sometimes even happens is that you forget it altogether, right? So your brain has this amazing ability to allow us to survive by forgetting some of these negative traumatic memories so that we don't have to cope with it in that time. And this is just one of the many coping skills, one of the many survival mechanisms that happen. And what happens is when you separate your emotions and your body at that time, you end up creating what kind of is like a wound, right? And your body, like if you can imagine a scar tissue, right? It gets hard and it gets stiff and it gets, you can imagine how it scabs up, right? So yeah. Then you have this person that is tense, that is stiff, and that has this hardened outside exterior, right? And you really don't know where it comes from, especially if you don't know, if you don't remember the memory. So you end up having this disconnection as to why is it that I am this way? Why am I so tough on the outside? Why am I so stuck in my ways of wanting to control everything or wanting to for things to be a certain way, right? So that's what trauma is in its essence, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is you disassociate. And it's interesting that you mentioned about mothers, right? Because what oftentimes tends to happen is that we forget our memories altogether, right? And then when we end up being pregnant and giving birth, especially if it's birth to the same sex as yourself and you experience that trauma, what can happen is that trauma can come back with the floodgates. So then you notice that you have this like overprotective way about you where you don't want anyone near your child. And you have this like mama bear like mentality where you just don't want anyone near your child and you don't know why or where this is coming from. And that's when the flashbacks tend to come back. So oftentimes when memories start to come back, it doesn't come back clear. It comes back in pictures. And then another picture and another picture. And I really depicted this in my blog that I did of my memory of my first trauma. So if you want to check that out, it's on my website, because I'm definitely blogging a lot of experiences. Because the thing about being a life coach is that it's not about me. It's about the client. It's about their needs and their experiences. And they have all the strengths and all the tools that they need to be successful. So my job is to pull out those strengths, is to be able to ask the right questions, not have all the right answers, but ask the right questions so that I can evoke those type of strengths from them. So therefore, they can go on their journey with confidence.
Yeah. Yes. And it's interesting that you're saying about asking the right questions, mm-hmm. because when I was preparing to connect with you, that's what I wanted. I want to ask the right questions, because like I said, we are Latinas, you know, and one thing that we are like, I think that we need to do is break a lot of generational cycles and a lot of cycles that were passed down to our generation, that you know, that feeling of having to stay quiet, that feeling of having to endure trauma and just like move on with life like nothing ever happened and not face the consequences. You get what I'm saying? So I think this is a perfect platform, because we have my majority of the followers, they're quote unquote minorities, even though I feel we are the majority, but that's another topic. That it's very important for them to hear this. So it's like, you know, what are the questions that I'm going to ask her? And I'm glad that you're breaking it down, because I truly believe it's very important. We have to break these cycles. Honestly, we do.
So I love that word that you said in terms of breaking cycles, because what happens is that oftentimes, even that the way that, you know, let's say you get into that mama bear mode and you want to protect your cub, right? That yeah. in itself is you're passing on fear. You're passing on this negative energy because you're not healed. So therefore you're hypersexualizing your child at a young age, because you're already thinking about, if somebody looks at her in these clothes, what are they going to think? Right? So that is not something of a normal, like, mentality of someone who hasn't been traumatized wouldn't think that way. They wouldn't hypersexualize their child. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. It's very much a defense mechanism that we have. It's a survival technique that we have. And then when we experience such things, we don't want our children to experiencing anything like that, right? So it makes sense as to why that would happen. But mm-hmm. what happens is that when we heal for seven generations to come, because we're no longer vibrating in that lower frequency of fear and that lower frequency of the assaults, right? We're liberated from that, and we're able to evolve beyond that. And we're not looking at things from what I would consider it a tainted lens, right? So your lenses are tainted because of your trauma. So you're seeing something from the perspective of your trauma. So if you're able to take off those broken glasses and put on a clean, you know, a fresh pair of glasses, you're able to see things clearer, and you're no longer seeing it from, you know, a negative perspective, or the glass half empty, or somebody's out to get you, or somebody's out to get your child. And again, that's not to say that a person who has experienced that and feels this way, that is wrong. That's where they are in that moment. And that is a defense mechanism. And what I honestly feel is that everything that we have done to survive thus far is a win. It really is a win, because so many times there's this level of hopelessness, this level of feeling undeserving, feeling unworthy, that happens as a result of sexual trauma, that can lead to someone thinking about taking away their life, right? Yes. And that's something that's very real. And in our culture, or many cultures, you could say, oh, pray about it and it will go away, or, you know, and it just doesn't quite do it. And that doesn't mean that spirituality and having a relationship with God doesn't help, because it does help, but it still doesn't take away the hurt that you feel on the inside.
Correct.
And what I wanted to say is that oftentimes what happens is that these individuals, such as myself, you end up turning to addiction. Because what addiction does is, yes, addiction takes lives, but it actually saves more lives than it takes, if you think about it this way. Entertain me for a quick second.
Yes, I will.
So when you think about it, addiction can be anything, right? It can be food. It can be work. It could be people pleasing. It could be cigarettes. It could be alcohol. It could be porn. It could be sex. It could be masturbation. It could be school. It could be anything, right? So you can fill in that blank.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that you have this level of pain that's internal that nobody can see. You have this level of emptiness inside that nobody can see. And what you do is you want to numb the pain because you want to live, right? So instead of choosing, you choose life. And the addiction, what it does is it allows you to live another day until you're able to process the emotions, until you're able to walk through what I consider to be the tunnel that takes you to the other side where the light is, right? You go through the tunnel of that's dark, and you really just don't know what your healing journey is going to be like, which is why having a life coach alongside you, which also, it also helps to have a therapist, because I know I got my therapist and I see her every week, and I absolutely love having a therapist. So I would recommend that for everybody.
Yes.
But having a life coach with you that understands and has walked through that tunnel and is there to hold your hand it makes it so the process is not as scary.
Correct. You are giving, you know why I'm laughing? Because you are giving me goosebumps right now. And I think that's very important. Everything you're touching base on is very important. Because imagine having a life coach that have been through some things in life and that can relate.
Girl, I've been through some things. We ain't gonna talk about all them things because we're gonna talk about healing today, but I've been through some things.
Yes.
So I said, check out my blog.
Yes. And tell us what is Where can people find your blog?
So my blog is on my website. My website is albasototlc.com because I'm super cheesy and I love the tender love and care, right? But it also stands for Trauma Life Coach. So albasototlc.com. And so that's where you can find me. And I'll be posting every week in terms of my blog. So I'll be able to share from my own personal perspective, because that's something that my clients don't necessarily get an opportunity to connect with, because I'd rather sit in the knowing that I feel you,
yes.
You know, like I feel what you went through, but it's not about me right now. It's about you and your journey and that precious time that we have together. It's about helping them get to a place of transformation. It's helping them like ask those right questions, right? That's going to allow them to open up. So that's really, really what it's about.
Yes. And I think even if they don't know your story, you know, just being able to sit down with an individual like you and the light that you have and just the way you make people feel comfortable, I think that's just enough to see that there's a woman of color sitting in front of them, because this is something that a lot of women have, you know, or just men in general, because I know you have women that are your clients and you know, things of that nature. But even with men of color, I think a lot of the people in our culture don't reach out because they don't have enough therapists that they can relate to or feel comfortable. So this right here is so major. I'm just like getting goosebumps because I want people to know that there are people like you, Alba, that are doing the right thing and are taking the proper steps and learning so that they can be an outlet for people in our culture. You get what I'm saying?
Because absolutely.
You know, any woman I've seen on Facebook ask me or just write, I can't find a therapist or someone that I can relate to, and it's getting annoying. So this right here, I cannot wait until people hear it, because now I want them to connect with you, you know?
So one thing I want to say is, yo hablo español también, so si alguien necesita ayuda, come over here, right? Because I also want people to know that I'm here to serve my people, but also, and my people meaning Hispanics, but also I'm here to serve women in general. Like, I know men also experience it as well. And my thing is that my niche, from my personal experience, that's where I'm going at. I'm going through my personal triumph through women empowerment and femininity and all of the ways in which, for example, birth transformed my life and things like that. So I have a little bit of a unique way of doing what I do. And I want to be able to almost like, in all actuality, not that I want, it's just that I've surrendered to the path that has been chosen for me. And the moment I surrendered was when everything just fell into place. So this is a message from up above, and I'm just doing the work. So
I'm happy that you are touching base on the word surrender, because before you even said it, oh man, thank you, God. Before you even said it, I was thinking about that word, surrender. Mm-hmm. And I do crystals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beads. And I did a bead that had a point, And if you look at the spirituality of a like a triangle, mm-hmm. in the spiritual connection, it deals with God, right? Mm-hmm. The crystal was a howlite, and howlite means surrender. So that word surrender has been following me for the last week. And then I had a young lady who also do beats, but she focused more on chakras. And when she said, I have a bracelet for you, right? And when she gave me the bracelet, when we met together and I gave her my the waist that I did for her, and she gave me the chakra bracelet, it had chakra and it had howlite and it had a Buddha. Look at Buddha, it talks about a healer, it talks about good luck, it talks about the spirit of enlightenment. And I was like, this girl just like basically told me my life in a bracelet. And I was like, wow. And I think that's very important to be in tune with yourself, with God, and just the universe. And I just want you to go. I want you to tell me, Alba and the listeners, how would you go about, and if you have anything to finish, you could go right away.
I'm finishing your sentences here. You're flowing me. You already asked the question and then you didn't ask the question, and that's okay. So I'm a Reiki practitioner, and I provide also Reiki services to my clients. So yeah, for those who don't know what Reiki is, Reiki has to do with energy healing. So we all have our energy meridian, which has to do with our aura. It has to do with our energy channels. And we have our chakras. So we have seven main chakras. There's more, but for now, we're just going to touch on seven chakras. So we have our seven main chakras. And I can actually give a little bit of information about that. And then I want to go into the howlite stone. So you listen, we over here vibing. You ain't got to ask no questions. We just vibing. So, so I wanted to tell a little bit about the root chakra. So the root chakra is your base chakra, and it has to do with self-preservation, physical identity, and sexual reproduction. So it represents the earth. And it has to do with your sense of grounding and your connection to your body, right? So let's link this back to sexual trauma. So if you can imagine somebody who has been violated and has lost their sense of grounding and their sense of connection to their body, because like I said in the beginning, with trauma, there's that disconnect, right? So you disconnect and almost like take your feelings out of your body. And that oftentimes happens in trauma. So you have your root chakra that's all out of whack. And I'll tell you what the root chakra does when it is in line. So it has to do with calmness. It has to do with, it dissolves tension and your profound connection with nature. It has to do with relaxation, right? It has to do with love and grounding. So oftentimes when you got somebody over there that's all kinds of moody and is ready to snap at you for anything, it could be that their root chakra is out of line. Just saying. But I know for me personally, my root chakra was my biggest problem. From the first time that I went in for a Reiki treatment, my root chakra was like not, listen, there was nothing going on down there. And then the next one, which is your sacral chakra, which the root chakra is red, the sacral chakra is orange. This has to do with self-gratification. It has to do with your emotions. It also has to do with your identity. So it's located in the lower abdominal area, and it's also located with your sexual organs are. It has to do with your emotions, with your ability to connect with others. It has to do with your sexuality and your ability to feel desire and sensations, right? So this has to do with intimacy and relationships, right? So with this, if it's all out of whack, you can imagine somebody just not being able to connect with their partner, not having desire to connect with their partner, having issues with being able to orgasm. So all of these things are things that are affected by your second chakra, which has to do with your sacral chakra.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yes. So a lot of us have been there, and we don't even realize the connection, because For me, what I focus is on mind, body, energy, and spirit healing. So it's really a holistic approach. And oftentimes people think of mind, body, spirit, but they forget about the energy aspect of it. But what happens is that when your energy is blocked, it impacts you physically. It impacts your interpersonal relationships. It impacts your finances. So for example, your root chakra, you don't have a sense of grounding or a sense of survival. Your finances are all out of whack.
Yes.
Right? So, and that's where being able to connect the different things, it helps me to be able to provide a better kind of, I don't even like to call it a treatment plan, because it's not even, because as a nurse, I always think of treatment plan because I'm a, you know, my nurse hat's coming on. But no, it's really more so of being able to have, like, I actually go more by my intuition, right? So I have my knowledge and then I also have my intuition, which is what is happening in between the lines. Like, what are you telling me? But what are you not telling me by telling me what you're telling me? Right. And I have to do a lot of reading between the lines to try to understand what is going on underneath that so that I can ask the right questions that can help get to that, what's in between the lines. Right. So the next chakra has to do with your solar plexus, which has to do with your self-definition or your ego. And this has to do with your willpower. It has to do with your sense of autonomy. It also has to do with your metabolism. So if you can imagine, you know, having all that weight around the belly area that we always trying to lose, especially after having a baby and your metabolism's all out of whack when you have a baby. But yeah, so those are the type of things that are affected by this particular chakra. So this particular chakra, when it's in line, it brings about peace. You feel whole, you feel this inner calming, and you have more tolerance for others. You feel balanced. So that's what you want. And when it's not, then obviously it'd be the opposite. So the next one has to do with your heart chakra. Now, the heart chakra, as you can imagine, it has to do with love, right? It has to do with acceptance. It has to do with your social identity and your connections with others. Because as we know, your heart is where your feelings are. Your heart is where you harbor the resentment, the anger, you know, and things of that nature.
Yes.
So, and then when your heart is in line, when it's flowing, when the energy is flowing the way it should be, you have the sense of peace. You have the sense of understanding, a feeling of wholeness and acceptance of life and relationships as they are. Right. So yeah. I'm actually going to tell you a little something about what I needed to do with my heart chakra, because my heart chakra was on some stuff. Right. Because I experienced some things throughout my life that made me, you know, go through some heartache. And I recognize that even though I said I forgave, mm-hmm. I really didn't forgive. It was almost like you say these affirmations over and over, like I release and I forgive and I, you know, because you know that it's not really about that person, but it's more so about you wanting to move through your life without having to have this negative connection and resentment and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So after my first Reiki training, when I did my first Reiki level one, which happened right after I was suffering from postpartum depression from my third child. So I had postpartum depression. And then next thing you know, this Reiki class comes like at a perfect time to take me out of this funk right before I had to go back to work for my maternity leave.
Yes.
I go to this class and in there, I get all these new tools and resources and this ability to do Reiki on myself. And I was like, oh, this is cool, right? So I can heal myself. And that's the beauty of it, is that you can learn how to heal yourself with Reiki. So at that stage, I learned how to do this meditation where I envisioned that there was a string on my heart and the other person's heart. So for example, I'm just going to say it. I got some daddy issues, right? So it's my heart and my daddy's heart, right? And they're connected. And the thing is that when you have this heart tie, when you have this heartstring that's between your heart and this other person's heart, when they do something, it pulls on your heartstrings and it takes you out of your zen and out of your level of control, right? So then you start getting all emotional and all this other stuff, right? So even though I can say I forgive for the past and I let it go, there's still this string that can pull on your heart and just kind of tug you. So you can imagine I'm over here, like, you know, tugging myself, you know? So the heartstring just pulls on and tugs on you. So what happens is that you do this meditation where you envision this heartstring, but then you take your hands as with scissors and you cut the string and you release that tie. You release that connection with that person and you allow that person to be who they are, as they are, where they are, and disconnected from you.
Wow.
And that was powerful, girl.
That is powerful. That is powerful, because I also have put myself in a situation where my children, where I feel like I have to protect them from the type of father they have, because growing up, my biological father wasn't there. And I feel like it's the same generational cycle curse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say about your father, I feel the same way, because like I've mentioned, he wasn't there for me. He, you know, for a while, I didn't even know how he looked. I still don't have any connection with him. I'm, you know, 32 years old. My son doesn't have his, you know, his father. My daughter doesn't have her father. And so I definitely understand where you're coming from. And it's just hurtful to know that, you know, the first heartbreak, it's from a person that, you know, lay down with your other parent, and it came, you know, you came from them, and how they don't make the effort to even, you know, try to see you. And I'm speaking for me, not so much for my children, because that is, you know, something that is between them and their father. But I'm speaking more from my behalf of not having my biological father, because, you know, you can have these male figure in your life where they can play the role of a father, but like for a while, not even able to see how your father looked or anything of that nature, is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's heartbreaking, and it's just like, wow. I came out of, you know, I have a piece of me. I look like this person. I have a piece of him, and I don't even know of him. It sucks. And I know I'm not the first person to go through that. And I know there's so many people that probably experience the same thing. So being able to do that is something that I definitely want to try, you know?
Yes, I would definitely recommend that, because it was super helpful for me, because there are different ways to do it, right? Well, there are different ways to put it. So there's the idea of forgiveness. There's the mm-hmm. idea of surrender. And then there's the idea of letting go. They're all the same thing, but you do what feels right for you. Because sometimes forgiveness doesn't feel right, because you feel like when you forgive, it feels like you got to give something to that person. And it's like, that person's not deserving of da 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 da, right? And it's, even though it's not about them, it still feels like you got to give something, right? So for some people, that word forgiveness is like a trigger and a blocker. Like, nah, I can't forgive you. But there's the idea of surrendering, right? So surrendering is to totally let go of the outcome and the control, and understanding that, now I'm gonna push you a little bit, because when I experienced this, it totally blew my mind. So we might not even be able to grasp what this means in this session, which is okay.
Yes.
But the reality is that the way birth and death is a transition, right? So you transition when you come into the world, you transition from the spirit realm to the physical realm. And when you die, you transition from the physical realm to the spirit realm. But the spirit lives on. Energy lives on forever, right? You got me so far?
Yes, I do. And I'm agreeing. If you could see me over him.
So, but here's the thing. Here's where I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there, right? But guess what? Your spirit chose your mom and chose your dad to be your parents before you even came on this earth. And your job while you're here is to figure out, why did you pick that person? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that again. So your spirit picked your mom and your dad before you even were brought into this physical realm. And your job while you're here on earth is to figure out, why did I pick this person to be my dad? I had to ask myself that question. And I was just like, nah, man. Listen. Yep. No, but what happened was, is that what I realized is that my dad, what he taught me was to be a survivor. Mm-hmm. What he taught me was to, in essence, and I'm not, and I don't mean it in a hard way, but
no,
he taught me to somewhat raise myself, because he wasn't really the lovey-dovey type to be all, you know. He was very much emotionally unavailable, right?
Yes.
And in that, I needed to provide myself with a certain amount of validation skills and do things in other areas to be able to evolve emotionally into the person that I am today. So those are the strengths that he provided for me. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm still asking myself that question. Why did I choose you to be my father? And you know, I'm gonna ask myself this question till I really get to the bottom of this.
Yes, I agree. And you know, this might sound like a lot for a child, because we're supposed to be, the parent is supposed to protect the children. The children are supposed to be, you know, led by the parents. But sometimes what I've noticed, even for my children, is that they saved me. I'm there for them. Sometimes I say that they're my life coach. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're supposed to be all of these things for our children. But wow, there's a reason. And it goes hard when you said that our spirit choose the parents, because it's like, wow, like my head right now is just like everywhere. And now I'm connecting the dots, even with my children, I'm connecting the dots with me and my parents. And it's like, maybe I was, you know, like maybe I choose the parents that I did because, like you were saying about surrendering, about, you know, because I think life experience can give you trauma, but it can also teach you to make it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had to go through those things so that you can be able to be an instrument for the universe and be able to lead other people.
Exactly. So I told you I was gonna blow your mind a little bit. So I'm glad you followed me on that. I'm glad you got it.
I love it.
So let's go back to the chakras real quick. So the next chakra. So we talked a little bit about the heart chakra. And by the way, a crystal that is amazing for the heart chakra is jade. And usually crystals that are green, because the heart chakra is green, are very, very helpful to heal from heartbreak, from heartache, heal from forgiveness, resentment, you name it. Anything related to your feelings that are connected to other people and in terms of your heart, those are the places where you need to go. It's grief, you know, all of those things.
Oh, that's amazing. That's why sometimes I feel so like, I feel like I'm in my sanctuary when I'm put into your hand making these beads. Mm-hmm. And a lot that have attracted me, because my favorite color is green, and I have so many jade stones. I'm just like, oh, I love you, green. I love you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's beautiful. It's healing you. And the thing is that, and actually I wanted to touch base on this, because I wanted to explain something for our Christian followers, because I'm Christian and I am very much in understanding that God, the God that I serve has never changed, right? And Amen. The reality is that all of these minerals and all of these resources that are put on earth are by God. So when I have this opportunity to heal with the use of crystals, it simply allows me to appreciate these earthly elements that God provided for us, just the same way I can appreciate some kale, right? So for me, that's what that means to me. And I have gone through the classes. I have experienced what it is, and what Reiki is universal love energy. So what it is that you're tapping into this universal, unconditional love energy, and you're giving that energy to someone, and it can't hurt them. It can only do good. So I don't know if you've ever heard of those experiments where you're like growing like a plant or something. I don't know. I think it was like with grains of rice or something.
Yes.
You speak love or you speak hate, and the one that you speak love into grows better and different and stronger and things of that nature. So it's similar to that aspect in terms of like being able to see how it works. I personally have felt how it works. So I have personal experience in it, but and I've also worked with clients, so I know what it's like to transform. But I also don't go into it telling somebody, oh, well, it's going to feel this and that, because it's very unique to each person.
Yeah.
And the experience is very different for each person. And it's different from each time. Each time that I've gone to get a Reiki treatment, I get a whole different experience. So, so it's not like you go in expecting like, oh, this and this is going to happen. It doesn't work that way.
Okay. And do you think that the reason why you have experienced different outcome, it is on the level that you are, the season that you are in your
yep,
life?
Exactly. Each time I get a whole, like I'm in a different space, and I need a different kind of attunement, and therefore things are different.
Amazing.
So we're down to the last three chakras. So the throat chakra has to do with your self-expression. And this is a blue chakra. So this has to do with communication. So you can imagine it's right on your throat. So it has to do with self-expression, creativity, communication. It has to do with sounds and vibrations. So with this particular chakra, it also helps with being able to communicate honestly. And it brings harmony to your voice. It brings balance to your expression. It brings... It helps you in terms of your listening to your inner voice and your intuition as well. The crystals that help with this is lapis lazulite, turquoise, and most crystals that are blue help with this particular chakra. There's a crystal that I really like that I have in my hand right now. It's called Larimar, and it's blue and it looks like the ocean, and the only place that you can find it is in Dominican Republic, and I really identify with that crystal because it helped me get in tune with my identity. So that is something that I am super passionate about. So this one has to do with communication. After I finish this quick like overview over the chakras, I just want to explain a little bit about how sexual trauma can hinder or block some of these, like focus on a couple, at least from my experience, to kind of explain how to bring it home to the trauma. Yes. So the next one has to do with your third eye chakra. So your third eye chakra is located right in between your eyebrows. It has to do with self-reflection, intuition, spirituality, and it's really the light that opens up to your spiritual you, and it helps facilitate understanding. So the crystals that help with this are sapphire and satellite and indigo, and it helps you with understanding, with harmony, awareness of spirituality, intuition, and your inner awareness. The last but not least is your crown. So you have your crown chakra, which is violet. It has to do with your self-knowledge, understanding of your identity. It has to do with pure awareness and consciousness. So it really has to do with wisdom. The crystals that help with this is amethyst. There's a clear crystal, and there's sapphire, and topaz. And when your crown chakra is in tune, you can overcome self-limiting beliefs. You have this knowledge of self, And the divine self, you have unity. You have universal ego as opposed to being on the ego of self. So you're connected with your higher power and with the universe.
Yes.
And you trust your body. You're connected with your body and you trust yourself. You have this sense of calmness and reassurance.
Can I tell a little story about what happened to me with a purple bead?
Yeah.
So the day before, there was an incident that happened on Facebook about, you know, I don't want to shine too much light on that, but, you know, it was a negative thing. And I was just like, wow, why are there so many like negative people out there? And I said, you know, God, send me a sign whether I should continue, you know, on this journey, because the last thing I want to do is to fail people when from the beginning, this is something that I wanted to do so I can help a lot of women and just have something for them to feel protected, you know, and just something to look forward. And I went to the store to get more beads. Tell me why, when I was in the store, I grabbed like three purple beads, and I'm just like walking around, and you know, and over a sudden I feel something like it was like I can't explain it. It was just something that just like took it from my hand and pulled it, and it fell, right? And when I looked down, the purple bead shattered because it was glass beads.
Mm-hmm.
So to my my chart of like what purple means, and it says once with God and the universe. And I say, thank you, God, you already told me what I need to do, and I'm continuing you on this journey. Mm-hmm. Because nobody is going to stop me from doing what I have to do and what's my calling to do, you know. And I was just like, wow, thank you, because he fixed my crown. Mm-hmm. That's how I got it. You know, he fixed my crown, and I'm thankful and grateful, because I always consult everything with, as my crazy as it might sound, I consult everything with God.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's not crazy, you know?
Yes. So it was like, I was like, wow, I felt blessed. And I said, you know what? God be with whoever is trying to sabotage what the promises God has for me. But yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Excellent. And you surrendered in that moment. You surrendered. So that's yeah. The word keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. So I actually have, I can go two ways. Actually, I'm going to go both ways. We're here. Let's make it, let's go big. Go big or go home.
Okay.
So when it comes to Reiki, you can imagine the root chakra, which has to do with your sexual reproduction as well, your survival and your self-preservation would be blocked as a result of being violated. Again, when it comes to your sense of identity and when it comes to your emotions, having that disconnection will be definitely affected. Now, another one has to do with your throat chakra. So what happens is your ability to express yourself and express yourself in an honest and authentic way gets blocked, because oftentimes a person who is violated gets manipulated and told that they can't speak up or something else is going to happen, like something negative is going to happen. So that level of manipulation that happens as a very young age, you begin to not be able to trust yourself. You can't trust yourself to express yourself or to be honest and to communicate clearly. So that one is a tough one. And oftentimes, for me personally, when my root chakra opened up, when I started to feel secure, I was able to speak honestly. But as long as my root chakra was blocked, I wasn't able to stand up for myself and to stand in my power and to speak my truth, because I was afraid that something negative was going to happen if I spoke my truth.
Yeah.
And if you can imagine as an adult, that's just not cool.
Yes.
So that's one thing. So I just wanted to kind of emphasize which things has to do with that. So now we're going to piggyback a little bit back on the trauma and the addiction. So what we were talking about, we left off talking about addiction. So I want to self-disclose a little bit and share a little bit about my personal addictions. So I have an addiction to being an overachiever, to being a workaholic, to being a constant student, to being a yes person. And people seem to think that that's okay, but it's not okay. It's not okay to do that. So for all those overachieving, traumatic people that are out there, that are going through life, checking off boxes, that are going through life, putting on a mask, smiling, wow, though their heart is breaking, smiling and just doing what they got to do to get by, even though on the inside they feel this sense of emptiness and not feeling like they deserve to be here on this earth. I'm talking to y'all because I'm talking to myself, right? And we are reflections of one another walking on this earth.
Yes. So, oh my God, girl, you were touching my heart.
Listen, you got to check on those friends, those hardworking friends, those friends that, yes, make you laugh all the time, those friends that got it all together. You got to check on those friends because sometimes we ain't doing okay. So just saying. Those were my personal addictions. And for someone like that, it's like you strive off of the accolades and the getting the degrees and getting the praise and getting the this. And I'm a Leo, so I listen.
Oh my God.
Girl, my birthday's coming up. I'm gonna be acting a fool.
Oh my God, you're like the fourth Leo I've been having these deep conversations. It's your season, let me tell you. Oh my God, go ahead.
I'm a Leo, hear me roar, okay? So for me, being the center of attention, and for me getting these positive praise for this overachiever, workaholic, and all of these things that I had going on, it only allowed me to do those things longer without recognizing that there's something wrong here, because I don't feel okay on the inside. I don't feel okay when I'm by myself with this, you know. Listen, I had my worst critic in my brain. Meanwhile, I'm over here trying to be the best thing for everybody else. And yeah. So with that, it's important to recognize and understand that too is a trauma response, and that too is an addiction. So you're addicted to running away from your problems. You're addicted to running away from dealing with this emotional void that you have on the inside and trying to process that. So what it is that trauma can be your greatest teacher, because what it does is it forces you to go back and discover and relate to yourself and figure out, where is this suffering coming from? Where is the lack coming from? And then you're able to then evolve. So what it is that the light of your suffering, no, the fire of your suffering becomes the light of your consciousness. So the fire of your suffering becomes the light of your consciousness. And the person who said that was, take credit for it, it was Eckhart Tolle. And I read that in his book, A New Earth, which totally transformed my life. It was great. Have you read it?
No. And I this is my first time listening to that. And wow, that's a powerful sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, so that's important to understand. And I want to have one last point to bring it home. And what it is that when you get into a relationship, let's stop that. Before you even get into a relationship, right? You got to recognize and realize that you did not attract your trauma. You did not attract somebody or something choosing to violate or to take away your power. Because that's the lie that we tell ourselves that have us living with guilt, shame, and anger for a very long time. And that's the first thing to recognize, that I did not attract that. Therefore, I shouldn't be guilty. I shouldn't feel shame, and I shouldn't feel angry about it, right? At least, when the time comes, you can let go. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Or remorseful, have that remorse towards yourself, because that happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then when it comes to relationships, because what happens is, it's like, why do I keep attracting men that take advantage of me? Why do I keep attracting people who take and take and take and take? And I can tell you that from my personal experience, I attracted a narcissist. I attracted some domestic violence. Like I said, I lived through a few things. And it isn't about attraction. What happens is that you're used to giving away your power, especially if you dealt with chronic abuse, meaning it happened over a period of time, that it wasn't just one time, that it happened constantly. You get used to giving away your power. So when you're in a situation where you're in a relationship and this person is taking your power, that feels normal. That feels okay. And you end up accepting, not attracting, accepting a relationship that doesn't give you what you're worth or that takes away your power.
Yes. And they take some light too, because have you ever seen a woman so vibrant, and when they get into a relationship, their light shuts down and you could see it around their eyes. Like, you can see like the suffering, you could see the unhappiness. It's just, wow, it's amazing.
Yes, I definitely, listen, I experienced that myself. And what happens is that oftentimes those people, the relationship makes you isolate from everybody else so that nobody else recognizes that you're in this dark space. So this person ends up convincing you, it's me and you against the world. Don't believe your family. Don't believe this. Don't be near, you know, yeah. Then next thing you know, you're trapped in this dungeon of a black hole and you're dealing with, you know, a situation that just totally takes advantage of you. But and that's, like I said, that's for another podcast. We ain't going down, right? So going back to healing. So I have been able to evolve from being in situations where I accepted and I tolerated being in relationships where someone took away my power and took advantage of me. And I have learned that I don't gotta accept that. I have learned that what I deserve is a love that doesn't take away my power, that allows me to embrace the essence of who I am. And the reality is that the thing about relationships is that relationships can either facilitate or inhibit healing. So when you have suffered from trauma, you have layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of scar tissue. Because remember, we talked about that scar tissue in the beginning, about what the trauma is. It has you with this tough outside skin and all this other stuff. So you have these layers upon layers. And this not only has to do with your defense mechanism, your survival skills, but it also has to do with these roles that you put on. Because now you put on the role of a wife, and then you put on the role of a mom, and then you put on the role of this and that. And those things are layers too that cover up the true essence of who you are. So when you decide that you're going to embark on this journey, because again, the fire of your suffering becomes the light of your consciousness. So when you decide enough is enough, and that you're ready to embark on this journey of self-discovery, and you're ready to connect with your true essence, you end up starting to take off these layers of this mask, right? So you're taking off one layer and another layer and another layer. So when you're in a relationship with somebody that fell in love with the layers that you put on, that fell in love with the front that you put on, they're going to be like, hold up, wait a minute. You acting brand new. What's going on over here? You used to not really do the things that you're doing now. Like, all of a sudden, you want to do yoga. All of a sudden, you want to start your own business. All of a sudden, you want to do all this stuff. Like, what's going on here? So that's where I mean inhibit your healing.
I'm so happy you're bringing that up, because to other people, it's like, oh, she's acting brand new. She's acting bougie. Mm-hmm. She's acting good. No, it's called healing, being at peace, trying to break cycles and generational curses, you know, being one with the universe and God. So, ooh,
girl,
yes.
So, like, I'm in a situation, I am happily married with a man that allows me to be my best self. No questions. They're like, how do you do it? You're a mom of four and you're this and you're that. Listen, and I still put dinner on the table when the time comes for us to eat.
I know that's right.
Right? And I'm doing this business and I'm able to do all of these things, because when it is in line with your purpose, and when you are in a situation where you no longer accept people who take away your power, and you stand true to that, and you not only take back your voice, but you take back your power. You're unstoppable.
And you could recognize those people. It comes a place when it comes a time where you can smell that type of man from a mile away. And it's so amazing.
I wish I had them spider senses before I got into those really rotten relationships. Can I say that?
Yes. But I think that's what creates those spider senses, to be like, I've dealt with a guy like you. Mm-hmm. I'm going there again.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed, indeed.
Wow.
So that's what I got for today.
Yes.
As if that wasn't enough, right? Oh, wait. Let's do one more thing.
Yes.
Here we go. We got to go back to the house.
And you know what? And I was going to say, okay, that's okay from your end. But let me tell you, I have something else.
Oh, you got more for me? Oh, man. All right, let's go. So I got this. I got my crystal book right here. So while I am very much fascinated with crystals and I use them, and I got my share of crystals. I be feeling embarrassed when I be putting them all out for the full moon. I be like, yo, why I got so many crystals? They're coming out of everywhere. I got crystal jewelry. I got all kinds of stuff. But I don't know what every single crystal means. So I got this handy dandy book. So I'm coming in here and I busted out the book. I found the howlite. So I'm just going to read it. It says, this mineral can be used to calm communication, to facilitate awareness, and to encourage emotional expression. It tends to combine the power of reasoning with observation and patience, providing discernment, retentive memory, and a laudable desire of knowledge, bringing progress marked with triumph. It spurs one towards the ambition to reach one's goals and to assist in eliminating hesitation with respect to action. It dispels criticalness. So I like critics. I think it dispels the haters. I'm just going to change that word. Haters. Right? Cold selfishness. bringing both strength, innocence, and access to immediate confrontations. It builds an innate decency within one's character, encourages those attributes which are building blocks to spirituality.
Oh, I love it.
Listen.
I love it.
It also eliminates stress, just saying.
Yes, I love it. I love it, love it, love it.
What else you got for me?
Okay.
You got more? You wasn't joking over there.
So I wanted to touch base on children that you know might feel a certain way, and they act upon each other, you know, like teenagers with children like of age, you know, 7, 8, around that age. And it was just like a topic because I've known people that growing up, they will act on sexual interaction with other kids. And, you know, there was a big gap there. And I just would like you to kind of, you know, educate us on if that's part of like molestation. Is that something that can create trauma within children, you know, and teenagers as they develop? Because I think it's very important. Because I think that a lot of people have been like in when they were younger, have been through that, where they experience, you know, like rubbing against each other, you know, like what will be called humping or whatever the case may be. So I'm gonna touch base on that.
All right. So the thing about that is that a lot of things that happen that are traumatizing sexually, a person doesn't even realize what happened to them until very later in life. And oftentimes what that does, it may not trust themselves, like, did this really happen to me? Did this not happen to me? As well as your validity of being able to say it. Like, if you can't even trust that what happened to you, can you imagine if how you say it, someone's going to be like, nah, that ain't true, right? So yeah. There's that factor, as well as the fact that oftentimes we forget these traumatic memories. Now, I wanted to tell you something that when it comes to a child enacting things with another child. Now, I just recently came out of a summit. It was a coalition and it was worldwide. And I want to tell you that this is not a problem that just happens with Dominicans and Hispanics. It happens everywhere around the world, from the porn industry to sex trafficking, like you name it. And we don't got to go into all of that. I'm just saying that I just recently got a whole wealth of knowledge because I'm always trying to learn and grow more, as well as build connections with people that are doing amazing work. Because it's about being the change that you want to see in the world, right? As opposed to just like feeling like, damn, like why do things have to be this way? So going back to the child-on-child contact. So oftentimes there'll be situations where a child has sexual contact with another child, right? And there's not a terminology for that to explain in terms of a psychological perspective. Now, I want to also put a disclaimer. I'm not a therapist. I don't pretend to be a therapist, and I just don't do that. But yeah, in terms of a psychological perspective, in terms of what that is, it's not classified as sexual abuse because it's from another child. But I will say that there are certain developmental things that happen that are normal between a certain age in terms of exploration. Mm-hmm. That has to do with like, ew, I saw your booty, like, oh, you know what I mean? Like that type of stuff. And being like weird and nasty, like kids are weird and kids are nasty. I got a few of them, so I know that they do weird stuff. So yeah, that is normal. But when you talk about enacting sexual things, that's not normal. So what that tells me, and I actually talked to my therapist friends. I called like three of them and I did a little bit of case review. They see children. I was like, listen, I got to get to the bottom of this. I don't understand this, right? So this is what I learned from being able to have conversations with the experts, is that what happened in that situation is that one of those two children were exposed to some type of sexual experience. Now, they could have directly been molested. They could have been exposed to pornography. They could have been exposed to seeing somebody have sexual intercourse in front of them, right? So they could have been exposed to something that opened them up to this level of knowing that now they're exposing someone else. So let's just imagine for now, since it's this the time of COVID. So if you can imagine that this disease of sexual trauma or sexual exposure is the Rona, right? So you got one person that contracts the Rona, right? So they get abused. Then they go to someone else who's a child, and then they touch that child. So now that child got the Rona too. So they didn't actually touch the person, or they didn't actually get touched. But now they're also inflicted with this new level of knowing that's not appropriate for their age, right? So now they've been exposed to this, what I'm going to call a virus, right? Now they get exposed to this virus that then they can participate with their sibling, right? Or with their friend. And there are many cases where a person ends up having interactions with someone, and it happened because someone exposed them to that, right? Yeah. And it happens, and that person grows up confused, right? So it could be that person, now I'm not saying that every case is like this, because listen, I don't have all the answers. I'm just saying some stuff, right? So agree with me, don't agree with me, that's fine. Because what I'm saying is not absolute or all true. So there are situations where, let's say a person was experiencing sexual things with someone of the same sex, right? So they had their friend, and then they did these things growing up, and now they're growing up and they're having this attraction or these thoughts or these desires towards someone of the same sex. And that in itself could be a traumatic response. Yes. And if they don't recognize that what happened to them was trauma, then they can't connect it to why is this showing up right now in my adult relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just one example. We can say many examples, but I wanna just, you know, give one example. So there's that. And so what do you do with that? What do you do with that information? Well, you can't keep your child in a bubble. Actually, I said that to my son the other day. I was talking to him because after I was on this summit, they were talking about pornography and the effects that it has on the brain and how it can damage, you know, your ability to connect with others, because then you get more curious and more curious, and then you end up exposing yourself and desensitizing to yourself to what intimacy is, which is that connection with an individual. So I decided to share this video with my son to explain the effects of pornography. He's 10 years old. And I'm like, listen, nowadays with all this music and everything going on, this never, So I was talking to him, right? And in that conversation, I told him, I was like, you know, I want to keep you in a bubble sometimes. And he was like, Mom, if you kept me in a bubble, I could still see through the bubble. And I'm like, you know what? You wouldn't give me a response like that and tell me, what's the point of that?
Like, that is true. Right, though.
And that's the truth. Like, he's very, very intelligent. And that response just pretty much told me everything. Like, you cannot protect your child from seeing what is out there in the world. And all you can do is equip them with the right knowledge so that when the time comes, they can make healthy decisions, and so that they can speak up if something is making them feel uncomfortable. And I will say one last thing is that a person can feel pleasure and be violated, because pleasure is a physical response that happens. And that has nothing to do with whether you asked for it, whether you wanted it, whether nothing. It just has to do with the biological response. So that's not an indicator to whether what happened to you was abuse or not. Just saying that.
Yeah, because it goes, you know, what it reminds me of when you said that, it goes, well, you enjoyed it. It didn't look like it. So yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Wow, this is amazing. I definitely need to touch base with you again if you're up for it, you know. And I really see a lot of good things coming up in this journey that you are embarking. And I just want to say thank you so much for bringing clarity, not only for me, but for my listeners. And thank you so much for taking the time to be on my podcast and just giving us, you know, the gems. And I pray that you continue to embark in this journey, because I see a lot of things, good things happening, and we definitely need more trauma life coach, you know, Latinas, Hispanic, that can definitely bring more to our culture, because as I mentioned before, this is something that a lot of people need and they want, you know. So I want to give you this time that we're wrapping up to just plug in, like, say your Facebook, your IG, your website. Talk a little bit about your book. I'm gonna let you you know, talk about that. So go ahead, honey.
Awesome. So yeah, thank you for this opportunity. I'm so excited to spread knowledge, because for me, I feel like my job is for this information to get to the ears of those who need it most. I'm here to serve and to support those who need it most. So I'm just so excited to be here. And I just wanted to share that I'm actually working on a book. I'm working on a book called Firestarters. It is a co-authored book. So I will be sharing in that book about my journey to surrendering. There's that word again, surrendering. So my journey to surrendering to my purpose. So I'll talk a little bit about the things that I went through and what led me to get to the point where I'm now able to live and manifest the work that I'm doing, which is just absolutely amazing and powerful work. It doesn't even feel like work, really. I'm just like happy to be here, you know?
Yeah.
So that book is called Firestarters. And if you go on my website, so it's albasototlc.com. Again, it's albasototlc.com. So if you go to my website and subscribe, I'll be sending out newsletters. And in that newsletter, you'll get updates on how the book is going and when the book will be ready for pre-sales and things of that nature. And I will appreciate the support because this is my first book. So depending on how this goes, I'll be able to have the confidence to write my memoir, which is the next book. And that's the juicy one. That's the one you really, really, really want to have because I'll let it all out. I know, I'm so excited. So there's that, and you can follow me on IG. So my IG is albasototlc, again at albasototlc, and on Facebook you can follow me at Alba Cordero Soto. So it's Alba A-L-B-A Cordero C-O-R-D-E-R-O Soto S-O-T-O. So you can follow me Facebook, Instagram, and go on my website. And if you go on my website, just make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can get updates on my book and also some awesome deals. So I'm looking to, for my birthday, to send out a gift, which will be a little special for people. So I'm looking forward to being able to heal the community. And I still don't know exactly how it's going to look. I'm still trying to work on the framework for that. So that's going to be coming down the pike. So just make sure you subscribe so you can get those details.
That's amazing. And I'm so blessed to be able, you know, one thing that I've been asking God to do is to connect me with spiritual women that are very connected to the higher power, because I want to be able to connect and share energy like this. You know, I after a while you get tired of the drama and things of that nature. So I'm so happy that God has connected me with people like this that are in tune and that have a positive word and everything. So one thing that I really want to ask God to give you is light, more life to protect you, to guide you, and to give you more power, knowledge, and enlightenment so that you can be able to help so many people with their trauma. And I would like you to, are you accepting like Amen. New clients and stuff like that? Like,
absolutely. So I'm absolutely accepting new clients, and every client that comes to me, I first do a 30-minute free consultation because I want to make sure that I am the right fit for you, right? I want to make sure that if you are going to invest in yourself, because you're not investing in me when you get a life coach. It seems like you're investing in me, but you're really investing in becoming the better version of yourself, right? So when you're going to invest in yourself by getting a life coach, what happens is that I want to make sure that I'm able to support you and that I'm a good fit for you. So we do a 30-minute free consultation. If you go on my website, it's connected to my Calendly. You can go ahead and schedule a free consultation with me. In those 30 minutes, I'm not going to give you all the secrets. Just know that you're not going to know everything that there is to know about healing. It's simply to see if we are a good match. And if we are a good match, then we can embark on the journey. The services that I provide are individual one-on-one coaching. So this is if you want to go deep, right? If you want to go deep within yourself, if you're ready to embark on the journey, you want to know all the tools that it takes to deal with your trauma in the here and now so that you can be able to compartmentalize, put the past in the past, and focus on financial improvement and financial empowerment. How if you want to focus on your emotions. So I do this thing called the circle of perspective. So with this circle of perspective is that you get to choose where you want to go and what go. So what happens is that I build the vehicle and I create the tools in that vehicle for you to be able to use to embark on this tunnel so you can go through this tunnel of healing. But what I do is when you come to me and you invest in yourself, I give you the keys and I said, all right, you drive, I'm the co-pilot. And you get to drive and decide where you're going to end up. So it's a very powerful experience in which at no point do you lose control. At no point do you, like, it's all controlled by you. I'm simply there to be your co-pilot and to be there with you on the journey. That's one-on-one. And then there's also group coaching. So I'm also doing the sister circle called Better Together Sister Circle. And in that, I understand that we are all whole as God created us. But when we get together, you know, that feminine energy and that woman empowerment, we can uplift each other and create a village, a safe space, a sacred space where we can support one another, uplift one another, and be able to learn and heal from each other's journey and stories. And we go into intimacy in terms of relationships. A lot of the things that affect women, we go into those topics at that time. And I really am, you know, talk about mind, body, energy, and spiritual healing during those spaces.
Where can you find that at? Like
on my website.
Okay, that's amazing. That is amazing. Thank you so much, Alba. Like, you don't understand. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know how to put it in words. Like, you're just amazing, and we need more people like you. And I've heard so many good things even before doing the podcast, and it was just an amazing feeling. And then to actually be connected with you, it was like, wow. I'm loving this, you know?
Well, we'll stay in touch. And if you ever want me to come back and I'll be more than happy to. So especially once my book comes out, I'm gonna be over here.
Yes, and you need to do your podcast too, because let me tell you. Okay.
You wasn't let supposed to say you. That.
Okay.
I will.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. Alba Cordero Soto, a trauma life coach. Like she mentioned, she have all her information at the end of the podcast. And thank you so much for listening. God bless, peace, and love. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.